Good morning, everybody. So Justin's coming up with the table. Thank you, Justin. So I'm Coach Jake. We call all the pastors here coaches. I believe you guys called us to be a team. And excited for today because Matt is going to be joining me up here for the sermon. So, yeah, thank you, Matt. So we've been in Romans 12. We're going to be in Romans 12 for a little bit, talking about transformation, but we're taking it really slow through those first couple of verses. Heard some things from Donnie a couple weeks ago. I tried to talk to us last week about really paying attention to all the stuff that God's done for us and giving our bodies to Jesus. But today we're going to slow down and talk about giving our minds to Jesus and how does that actually work. Matt's got a cool testimony about it and about how God's renewed his mind here at Maywood. So I'm going to read these verses to you. But before I do, I want us to say another prayer where we're just asking Jesus, Jesus, come and talk to me. I want to know you better, right? So let's pray. Jesus, you said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Help us right now to have a pure heart. Just all of our heart to want more of you. All of our heart to be listening to you, Jesus, as we read the Bible and as we hear from Matt today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So verse 1 of Romans chapter 12, I'd love for you to turn there. And we'll be headed another spot in the Bible here in a little bit. But Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. We unpacked that a lot last week. This idea of God knows everything you've ever done, and God is wanting to come to you with mercy. He wants to do this deal of like, hey, give me all that you got, and I want to wash everything clean. He's pleased with us, right, when we give ourselves to him, right? So in verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't let the world shape you and smash you into how it wants you to be. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So our idea here today is that transformation. What does it actually look like? And so Matt, talk to us about maybe a quick snapshot, how things were, how things got to where they are today. Tell us a little bit about your story.
Can you guys hear me? Good morning, by the way. For me, before I got here, I really didn't have a connection with God, and my life portrayed that. And I really didn't know it at the time, but he had led me to Maywood and to the Good Foundation. And I basically didn't have, there was really nothing left. I had basically just destroyed my relationships with my family and my friends. And depending on wherever you are in your own life, you know, this is what it looked like in mine. And I believed that I could change. I wanted to change. I had come to that spot. And I believe in that moment that it was from God. And I remember being like, and I was on the side of the highway and I was like, I'm not supposed to be like this. And whatever that looks like in your own life, I don't know. But in mine, it was like, I remember having that thought, like, I'm not supposed to be like this. This isn't how I'm supposed to be. I'm not, my life isn't supposed to be in this chaos and so broken. And God, you know, I didn't know at the time, like I said, he had led me by a miracle, really. He had led me to Maywood and to the Good Foundation. And that's really where it started. And it was just people like everybody, there are people in here, I had seen something different than what I had seen before. And so I believed that that I could change. And that's really where it started.
Yes, there's this period of your life where you're apart from God, you don't know God, and it really gets to a hopeless spot. But you do realize like something could be different. God does this miracle, connects you with the Good Foundation, connects you with Maywood. You start seeing other people have the change that you want. And so did you just hang out here for a couple weeks and then you're good? What happened?
No. So something that I didn't have the ability before either, really. He showed up. He allowed me to show up for myself. Yeah, he allowed me to show up for myself. I had never really had that quality before. I wasn't somebody that I could count on, or nobody else could count on me either. And in the short time that I was here, I knew that it was different in that I wanted change. And he gave me the ability to show up. And that really was the start, was to show up and to believe that I could change. And to see people here and see something different than what I was used to seeing. And I knew that I had wanted that, and that, that was important.
So maybe as Matt's sharing his story, maybe you've already connected to a spot where like, I know exactly how that feels. Or maybe like I'm there exactly today. Be looking for that. Matt's story is going to keep going. I'll be looking for like, where am I at? Am I in a similar spot? Because Matt's taken some really healthy steps. And if you're like, okay, well, I know those first few steps, be looking for like, what's the one that I need to work on, right? Okay, get a pointer from what Matt's going to share. So you keep showing up. In the past, you weren't a person that kept showing up, but you keep showing up dependably. But then you're downstairs in that Sunday school class downstairs, living a transformed life. Pick up the story there.
So that was good. That was the start, the transformed life. I learned a lot in that class, and that allowed me to grow. And there was a lot of guys that that were in there that were leading that I see sitting here that played a big role in that. And that got me curious and interested in God, because I really didn't have any. And for anybody really doesn't know what that is, it's like the beginning, the basics of learning about God. And I really didn't know a whole lot. And so that was my foot into the door of learning about God. And that did play a big role in being able to learn and to speak up. And it also allowed me to want to be more curious about God, even and branch out and learn about new groups. There's other groups besides the one down there. And so I was still more curious. I wanted to see what else there was and what other opportunities there were and what else I could learn.
Let's just interrupt Matt for just a second. Some people don't stay curious. Some people, like, there's a big problem, and they get started fixing their life, and then they get comfortable. But Matt was already making big strides, but instead of just being like, okay, I've gone far enough, I'm comfortable, he stayed curious. There's somebody in the room, like, you've gotten over some hurdles, but now you're stuck just staying in some sort of comfortable spot. You're not curious about more. But you are getting curious about, and I think Wednesday nights was maybe the next step for you, right? And like that smaller group of 8 to 10 guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell me about how that was another step forward.
So that was a way for me to be in a more intimate setting. The downstairs Transformed Life class is great. It's a bigger group setting. And the other ones, the men's Bible studies on Wednesday night, or the women's, they're a little bit smaller. And so it gives an opportunity to connect with people in a more intimate way. And there's a lot of guys in there that are also hungry to learn about Jesus, or that have a lot more wisdom than I do, because I still have a bunch to learn. And I realize that I'm constantly learning and constantly growing. And so with those guys being in there and them also having more wisdom, I found myself, I want to say almost accelerating in my learning about Jesus and connecting with the people with you guys at Maywood. And I was also able to find a mentor there, a spiritual mentor there. And that really played a big part in my life as well. And so I had met Chuck in the men's Bible study and a little bit before that, but we were able to connect there. And so having that mentor and also the wanting to learn about God, and it was a really good spot for me to be in. And yeah.
So I'm going to point this little piece out about Chuck's story too, is Chuck could have just been comfortable. Chuck's right there in the back. He probably doesn't want to be pointed out, but Chuck is, yeah. See, he's like, don't do it. So sorry, Chuck. But it's also comfortable for folks that have been at Maywood for a very long time to comfortably come on Sunday mornings and to not engage in one of those groups. It's not that every Christian needs to be in a Wednesday night group, but what I'm saying, Chuck chose to be around some people that have a different background than him, right? And he chose to be in that same group. So for Matt and Chuck both, they were coming into a group that probably the very first week they were there, it probably wasn't comfortable for either one of them, even though they're coming from different spots. But because they're curious and they show up, God starts to bring this relationship between them that, like, there's a lot of people that have had Matt's story and a lot of people that have had Chuck's story in Independence, vaguely, right, that don't become friends, that don't give each other any wisdom, that don't love each other or care about each other, right? But Jesus did something between those two guys, right? And a piece of it was they showed up somewhere that wasn't very comfortable probably the very first week, right? And they came and they were vulnerable and God made the connection happen. So you and Chuck get connected. He's mentoring you. Talk to me about, if we had to have a word for the day, it might be integration, right? Talk to me about how you started to integrate your life. You're coming on Wednesdays. You're coming on Sundays. What are some other steps to get your life in Maywood more integrated?
Yeah, so to find ways to be of service. And really, that was instilled in me from even the Good Foundation, was like to be of service, find ways to be of service. And since for me, music is, I believe, a spiritual gift of mine, I was able to do the sound in the beginning, and it, you know, it was uncomfortable a little bit because to step out of my comfort zone a little bit. I remember sitting back in that sound booth and being like, do they realize I'm back here? Like, am I supposed to be back here? And that uncomfortable, like, am I, do they realize I'm sitting back here? Like, is this right? Can this be right? And so it was uncomfortable, but I started to learn the sound and so whatever that looks like for you, I do feel that is important. I do feel that finding a way to get involved with the church for me has greatly helped me step out not only in my comfort zone, but helped me grow as a person and get connected with people in the church. And so for me to feel a part of was really important, because there was a long period in my life where I feel a part of, and in no fault of my own, I had cast myself away from people. And so it had been a long time in my life that I got to feel a part of something, and it warmed my heart to be able to be a part of something of like-minded people trying to learn about God and show up in their life and try to live a better way of life. And so I found it to be really beneficial in my life to take a step out of my comfort zone and to do the men's Bible study and the sound. And so I was just trying to find ways where I could get in, and I wasn't even sure if they were going to work out. But I know that I wanted to be of service, and I wanted to find a way to get involved and so that I could stay learning and stay growing.
And I know Matt well, and like we could go into more and more pieces of it, right? But just a few more highlights. When you're driving down I-70, there's all sorts of off-ramps, right? Every mile, every quarter mile, or even less if you're downtown, right? There's all sorts of chances to stop going and to pull off. And Matt and his story has all sorts of chances along the way to just pull off and stop growing, right? And for you today, there's that same opportunity. Like, well, you don't have to do that, right? But we've seen Matt lead worship songs up here, right? We've seen Matt get up here right now and talk with all of us, right? I've seen Matt sponsoring somebody and struggling with, like, what are the boundaries that I should really set? I want to help this guy, but how do I actually help him? It's complicated, right? Like, those things take the willingness to grow, right? Like, he could have just gotten comfortable at any of those spots, right? But he's trying to figure it out, right? And one more thing I do want us to highlight, though, is you took some time before you got baptized. You'd been here for about a year. And people have different journeys with the timing for baptism for you. But what were you really trying to make sure of before you got baptized?
For me, it was, I wanted to understand what I was really doing, and instead of just jumping into it. I was excited, but I wanted to take my time and pray and ask God, like, you know, and to find out, is this really what I want? And so it wasn't, it did take me some time to get baptized, and a part of that was just the patience and trying to understand, like, is this what I'm supposed to do? Because I didn't have a full understanding of what it really meant to be baptized. And so I wanted to learn what that really meant and what it meant to me and what it meant between me and God. And so I did give it some time. And I think that's okay. And I'm glad that I did.
Yeah, so everybody's journey with Jesus is going to look different, right? So some people, in a single day, they understand, they're ready to commit. It's not about comparing timetables to other people, though. It is about, when you get baptized, saying, Jesus, I don't want to be dead to my old self. I trust you. I want a whole new life with you. And it matters that you understand it and that you mean it, right? Matt, me, none of us are perfect after we get baptized or something, right? But it matters that we mean it with our heart of, like, a Jesus, I'm dead to my old ways. I want to follow you, right? And so Matt, I respect that. Like, he took a lot of time to be like, do I really mean that? And he took some time, right? And it's a good thing to check yourself with, like, can I really commit to this, right? Counting the cost, to kind of put it in Jesus's words, how he describes it in Luke, right? So we got another passage of scripture, because we're talking today specifically, though, about all these externals that Matt's been sharing about integrating his life into Maywood. There's also a lot happening in his mind, right? And our passage is about renewing your mind. But when I was talking to Matt about Romans 12, he said, can we also talk about this other passage, right? So this is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, if you want to turn there. And the context here is going to start with the word for. The context is Paul is helping be a leader at this church, but he's saying, you guys need to do some things different. And I can come in and talk to you about how you need to change, right? But the context of this passage is he's saying, like, the battle really needs to be won in how our thought processes go, right? There can be drama in a church. There can be people doing the wrong stuff. But really, we got a battlefield going on in our mind. And that's how Paul is first going to get at it. So chapter 10, verse 3, if you guys want to turn there. He says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Verse 4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. He's going to describe in detail kind of our key verse for this passage. Verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Like, we're trying to destroy anything that's contrary to God in our minds, right? And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Big words here, right? Sounds really good on the page, and then it's like, what does that actually look like, right? So, Matt, talk to us about, can you relate to that idea of the mind being a battlefield or a war? And then, what are some habits that have been helpful to you?
Yeah, it's a constant maintenance. It is. It's an everyday thing. the thoughts. I apologize. It is a constant battle every day to maintenance my mind, and I have thoughts and coming in constantly into my head, and so I have to be careful what I put into it, and you know, and even down to how I speak to myself, and because I can really beat myself down, and I'm sure everybody's heard that and can relate to it. So I have to be careful how I speak to myself, especially right off the bat, right when I get up. I do, you know, say my thought process can either be negative or it can be positive, and so I choose for it to be positive. It's not always, but I try to make it positive, and the thoughts that come in, I realize that I can be aware of them today, especially with a sober mind. That I don't have to act on every thought that comes in. I can be aware of that. I can ask God. I can pray. God, is this what you want me to think? You know, is this what you want me to do? And I can pause. And when it's talking about taking the thought captive, like for me, that's you know, I can put that thought on pause and not have to react on it emotionally or physically. And for me, having that connection with God and having that ability, as where before it was like all impulse. A lot of it was impulse. There was not a whole lot of thought came in. I felt this tension or this anger rise, and it would burst out of me. And so, being able to take the thought captive with God. And the daily maintenance is even to what I put into it, whether it's social media, if it's not something that's going to benefit my life or has some type of positive aspect, I have to really be careful because my mind will go south really fast. It'll really quickly start allowing the mindless entertainment, and then I find myself getting caught up in it and going left field really quick. So it is a constant maintenance of the mind, of realizing like, hey, being aware. And this awareness, I believe, and for me, has come from God. Like even just having the awareness and the sober mind to realize that not every thought that comes in, it can be a fleeting thought. It doesn't have to be acted upon. And it doesn't have to be what I even necessarily believe. God's good to me today, and
I just want to emphasize, it's easy to listen to that and let it roll over you, but think about what Matt was sharing there. The ability, when some of the negatives rising up in him, to pause and not to act on it, but to check it with God and actually do something different with his mouth or with his body, right? All of us, certainly myself at least, but I'm going to include you guys with a lot of my experience. I think all of us have moments where like, man, I really hurt somebody I care about, or I really made Jesus look bad in front of these other people I'm trying to make Jesus look good to, or we all have these moments where like, man, I wish I could have that 5 seconds back or that 30 seconds back. The ability to pause yourself and to get right with God before you act is like a superpower, right? You don't have to travel back in time if you just could pause and check stuff with Jesus, right? Matt was telling me the other day some real specifics of like every day he's asking Jesus for guidance. What if you did that every day? Like, Jesus, please guide me. It's a very simple thing to do. He's trying to avoid mindless entertainment. He's paying attention to social media, or even coworkers are super negative. He just pays attention to it and is having some conversations with God about how much of that to let in. You can't get away from everybody that complains or something, right? But you can have a conversation with God about how much of this do I let in? How do I respond to it? How much of it do I let in my head? You talked about to me about treating your body well and improving your self-talk about yourself. But the one I really want you to tell us some detail on is the visualizing stuff that you do. You want to talk to us about that?
Yeah. So in this journey of learning about God and having a sober mind, on my way to work or onto the gym, I do. I don't really tell a lot of people, but I imagine, and I do it very visually. I honestly do. I imagine myself putting on the armor of God, and I imagine it flying to me, and what it looks like, and how, and its shine and its cross on it, and I start to feel a warming of my heart and its confidence build and the strength inside of me that I know is coming right from God, and I do that, and that visualization of God and His armor and Him wrapping His armor on me and being filled with strength and confidence is like, that's coming right from God, and it carries on through my day. And when negative things happen, and they do, you know, it's like I have this little bit of extra buffer that I didn't have before, just by putting on the armor and just by thinking about God and visualizing and using my mind to visualize me putting on that armor.
And so, you know, visualizing like feet fitted with the gospel of peace, with the readiness, right? Or helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, like picturing these things and like focusing in his mind on God, putting that stuff on him each day, approaching the day ready to take a stand against what's evil, right? So this is really cool. When I was hearing this from Matt, like I was excited. He was willing to share this sort of stuff with us, right? One other thing I want us to talk about today too is like Matt and I made a commitment to each other with a few other guys to do some stuff this year to be trying to get closer to Jesus and grow. But one of the things we committed to was trying to read the Bible each day, not trying to, doing that each day. And Matt and I were talking about it the other day. Like, hey, how's that going? And I know in that first conversation, it wasn't going as well as you wanted to, but talk to us about what's been happening. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I partnered up with, so like finding accountability, somebody that can hold you accountability, that's like-minded, that's trying to improve their life. Like I still have, and I said it earlier, a bunch to learn, and there's still so much I don't get right every day that I, and, but I, you know, being able to find somebody that can help hold me accountable, another Christian, or somebody in, you know, that also wants accountability. It's great if the other person's wanting it. And so I find myself on the streak now, this active streak, and we're holding each other accountable and at least text, you know, checking in and texting. It doesn't even have to be so much, just even texting somebody and be like, hey, did you read? Did you, you know? And so, yeah, and since we had that conversation, I've been keeping up with the Bible, and I'm learning. I'm constantly learning. That's the main part. It's like I know that I don't know it all, and I know that's okay, but I do want to grow and learn more about God and about myself and connect with the people that are around me in the church.
Well, all of us have different things that click with us in Jesus. But if you're wanting what Matt's talking about here, like it's as simple as saying like, hey, this has really worked for me. Like reading my Bible every day has really helped me make a connection with Jesus. Ask somebody else if they want to do that. Do they want to commit to that sort of thing, right? We don't have to force everything on other people. But if they say, yes, I do want to do that, then keep up with them, right? And I could have done a better job asking Matt a lot sooner, right? But keep up with them about like, how's that going? Like we both said we wanted it. Are we actually going after it now, right? And it's been a huge blessing. I know just in our short conversations, right? About we were both reading in Mark this week and Jesus was meeting us there, right? So, I mean, like that sort of thing's open to anybody, right? Like Matt and I are not superheroes. It's like Jesus is good and Jesus shows up when people are trying to get closer to him, right? So, Matt, we're kind of running ourselves out of time. I know we had a little more to share. Is there any last thing you want to leave people with?
Step out of your comfort zone and try to find a way to. I feel like I owe it to myself to learn more about God and to be a better person and to show up for myself. And the more that I do, the more I feel connected with God and finding a way to be of service in the church and continue to grow and continue to learn.
So I asked you fairly early on in the sermon, like find your spot, right? Like Matt's taking all these steps. Are you at any of those steps, right? Are you at the step right now where you're like, I don't know God and I don't have any hope? Can you take that step that Matt did if he started showing up and asking God for help? Maybe you're at the spot where like, I got really comfortable coming to one thing at Maywood, but could you take another step to get closer with some other people. Or maybe you got to the spot where you're like, man, I got all these good things going on for me, but I don't have anybody holding me accountable to getting closer to some sort of goal with Jesus. I don't know what your step is. But my guess is we all could say, like, I got some inspiration from Matt today, right? There's some sort of way that I could show up and battle with Jesus so that what's going on up here is better. Because if what's going on up here is better, then goodness is going to flow out of you, right? When we were reading in Mark, and kind of towards the middle of Mark, Jesus says, it's not about what you eat that makes you unclean. It's your thoughts, man. Your thoughts are where all sorts of terrible behavior, that's where they come in and defile you. It starts in your thoughts, right? So wherever you're at today, I want you to know, like, Jesus has mercy. Jesus is willing to wash everything you did before noon, right? It's 12:01. Everything before noon, he'll wash it away, right? But you're not going to get very far with him if you don't give him your brain, if you don't give him your attention, if you don't say, I want to do it your way, okay? So Matt, would you close us out in prayer? Pray over people? Yeah.
Dear Heavenly Father, please continue just to guide us. Thank you for Maywood. Thank you for everybody here. Please continue to watch over our loved ones, our family, and our friends. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.